content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Julie Eldridge for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the summer issue of Lion Magazine. And it's there's a lot in this magazine, so, and I only have a half hour, so I have picked out what I thought would be the most interesting articles, and here we go. And the headline on this first article is Q&A with Lion Stephanie Graef. This Michigan Lion is bringing human trafficking out of the shadows in her community and beyond. After receiving several invitations, Stephanie Graef finally said yes to joining the Chassel Lions Club in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. At first, she simply wanted to get more involved in her community. What she didn't expect was how naturally her work as an anti-human trafficking engagement specialist would connect with her experience as a lion. How'd you get involved with your Lions Club? I was invited by a couple of my neighbors, one of them a 90-year-old longtime lion. I knew lions from growing up here, especially through our annual strawberry festival, but I hadn't thought much about it beyond that. I said yes because I love my community. How's your lion's experience been so far? It's been incredibly rewarding. I've come to see just how much impact lions have, both locally and beyond. It's also been a great balance for me. The work I do in human trafficking is important, but it can be heavy. Being a lion gives me a way to focus on something positive while building local relationships. At what point did your lion life start to intersect with your professional life? When I first joined, I honestly didn't connect it to my work to combat human trafficking at all. But as club members became aware of the work I was doing, they were interested in learning more. That led to conversations and opportunities to raise awareness locally and eventually on a larger stage. In March, I had the honor of serving as a panelist at Lions Day at the United Nations in New York City. You've been working in the anti-human trafficking space for years. How did that begin? About 12 years ago, I met a survivor. That conversation changed everything for me. It opened my eyes to how prevalent human trafficking really is and how much of it is hidden in plain sight. I realized I couldn't go back to life as usual after that. Many assume human trafficking is only a problem in big cities or certain parts of the world. Is that accurate? No, not at all. Human trafficking is one of the fastest growing crimes in the world today, with cases reported in at least 188 countries. It's often cited as the second largest criminal industry after drug trafficking. Millions of people are being exploited for forced labor and commercial sex acts, and about 40% of them are children. Why is it so hard to recognize? Human trafficking doesn't always look like what people expect. It operates under the surface. It can involve manipulation, coercion, and control, sometimes without obvious signs. That's why education is so important. As I always say, knowledge is power. What are some warning signs we should be aware of? Signs to look for in both minors and adults include tattoos depicting symbols like crowns, barcodes, or the word daddy. They may appear nervous, malnourished, or sleep-deprived. They may lack control over their own ID or documents, be unable to speak for themselves, or be accompanied by a controlling person. In children, signs can include frequent school absences, dropping friends for older ones, new expensive clothing, multiple phones, inappropriate dress for weather conditions, and references to traveling to other cities. What can we do to recognize and respond to potential human trafficking in our communities? I strongly encourage Lions worldwide to join this fight. There are many resources and trainings available to learn about this abhorrent practice, what it looks like, and how to respond. You may also consider getting involved with an organization in your area that's dedicated to this cause. United, we can win this fight. And at the end, there is a card saying, Human Trafficking Resources, United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. And the website is unodc.org. And the National Human Trafficking Hotline can be found at humantraffickinghotline.org. Here's an article about transforming lives at both ends of the leash. Inside the Lions-supported prison program, Raising Service Dogs and Creating New Beginnings. And this is written by Brett Armstrong. When three wide-eyed puppies arrived at the Federal Correctional Institution on a sunny spring day in Phoenix, 30 female inmates were eagerly waiting to meet them. Everybody wants to get in on it, said Lion Chris Gerard, treasurer of the Lions Project for Canine Companions, or LPCC, and the driving force behind the Arizona prison program. To participate, inmates must have clean, disciplinary records and complete a rigorous screening process. But for the women selected, the chance to cradle an 8-week-old Labrador puppy and do something meaningful with their time is more than worth it. The puppies are future service dogs for Canine Companions, a national organization that provides highly trained service dogs to adults, children, and veterans with disabilities at no charge. LPCC helped launch the Arizona program by connecting the facility with Canine Companions and providing the startup funding to get puppies through the door. Raising a service dog through the program is a unique partnership. Each puppy spends roughly 3 months with its incarcerated handler, then rotates for a month with a volunteer puppy raiser on the outside. The inmate establishes the foundation, grooming, routines, and basic skills, while working towards the 35 commands the dog will eventually learn. The outside raiser builds on these lessons while exposing the puppy to the environments it will navigate as a working service dog. Grocery stores, movie theaters, crowded sidewalks, and busy streets. It's a partnership built on mutual respect and a common goal. I went in thinking, you respect me, I respect you, said Teresa Hart, LPCC's national administrator, who spent 7 years co-raising puppies with inmates at a Tennessee facility. I wanted to work with them and with the dogs. A Canine Companions trainer visits the Arizona facilities at least twice a month, building skills gradually. By the time the puppy is 16 to 18 months old, it's ready for what the raisers affectionately call college, 6 months of professional training at the nearest Canine Companions campus. Fewer than 5% of program participants return to prison after they're released, a fraction of what national recidivism rates. But the numbers don't tell the full story. One young woman entered the program at California's Folsom Women's Facility with little direction and a family weighed down by shame. She left prison, earned a degree, and became an apprentice trainer for Canine Companions, building her career around the mission that gave her a second chance. So many of the program participants never had connection, no family, few relationships, Teresa said. This dog gave them purpose, gave them love, and gave them a reason to want to do better. Chris and her colleagues have received letters from participants that put it plainly. It's the first time I felt unconditional love, and it's my chance to give back to society. The program isn't just about producing highly skilled service dogs, though it does that remarkably well. Puppies raised in prison graduate into working service dogs at a rate of 10% higher than those raised in traditional homes. The program is about changing lives for the better. After more than 6 months of professional training, Canine Companions trainers know each dog's strengths and temperament inside and out, and they use that knowledge to pair each dog with the person who needs them most. For many recipients, it's a defining moment. One young boy, meeting his new service dog for the first time, said it best, "I've been waiting for him all my life." The intensive puppy raising program concludes with a formal graduation ceremony, live streamed so the inmates who helped raise the puppies can watch. From a puppy raised behind prison walls to a child whose life will never be the same, that's the power of this program. And it starts with Lions. "We want to make sure people know that Lions lead here," Chris said. "We've been there since the beginning." Here are a few facts at a glance about the Lions Project for Canine Companions. There's been $5.2 million raised for Canine Companions since 1983. There have been 2,000-plus Lions clubs across 34 states that participate. There are 300-plus incarcerated puppy raisers currently active. There have been 33 puppies raised through the two Arizona facilities and counting. It has been less than 5% of program participants that return to prison, and 10% higher graduation rate for prison-raised puppies versus those raised in traditional homes. You can learn more at lpcanine.org. Fastened for the Future is the headline of the next article. The Accra Golden Lions Club equips children with life jackets for a safer journey to school. This is written by Natasha Delora. At first light, on Pedia Tokope Island in eastern Ghana, parents walk their children to the muddy banks of the Volta River. No yellow buses wait there. Instead, small wooden boats line the shore, ready to carry students to school on the mainland. Children ages 4 to 15 pile into the narrow vessels, some with motors, others steered by hand. When families cannot afford a motorized ride or an adult to row, children must paddle themselves across the water. The crossing takes about 20 minutes each way. On the river, the children sit quietly. Sometimes they sing softly to pass the time, but more often they stay focused on reaching the other side. They know the risk. Their parents do, too. From late April into November, high water and strong currents make the crossing more dangerous. Some children have fallen into the river, and not every child knows how to swim. There have been no confirmed drownings at Pedia Tokope children, but fatal capsizes elsewhere along the river have claimed lives in recent years. Still, they go. Without school, young people in Pedia Tokope have few options beyond fishing, selling the day's catch, or harvesting clams. Parents live with that fear because school may offer something different. Each morning, as the boats pull away from the bank, some parents stay and wave until their child disappears from sight. Others cannot bear to watch. The effort to make the crossing safer began in Accra, Ghana's capital. Members of the Accra Golden Lions Club, a 58-member group chartered in 1992, saw a local television report about children making the daily river commute and couldn't forget what they had seen. For club president Nehemiah Yelu Atiga, the images hit close to home. He thought of his young son and the safety of their own morning routine. "Imagine your child has to get into a wooden boat to cross a river every day," Atiga said. "No parent should have to wonder if their child made it to school." Determined to help, the Lions set out to buy life jackets for students in Pediatocorpe, but first they needed to raise the money. They organized a car wash with the help of local Leos. They spent the day scrubbing cars with buckets of soapy water and spray wands, bringing in as much as they could for the project. On delivery day, Atiga and his fellow Lions and Leos left Accra at sunrise with the life jackets. To reach the island community, they traveled the same route children take each day to school. They rode in a motorboat, wearing borrowed life jackets. Even then, Atiga was afraid. As we made our way across the river, I thought, this boat could overturn and I could lose my life, he recalled. Imagine experiencing that every day. By the time they reached Pediatocorpe Island, students in orange and brown school uniforms were already waiting. The brightly colored life jackets stood out against the dusty ground as the Lions and Leos unpacked them. The children slipped them on as buckles were fastened and straps were pulled tight. Then came the hugs, a reflection of their immense gratitude. Nearby, parents watched, quiet, smiling. With a life jacket wrapped around his small frame, Teta, 10, who dreams of becoming a teacher, was not thinking about the journey ahead, but about his mother. Now my mother doesn't have to cry or be afraid when I go to school. And here's an article about activities of service around the world. Lions and Leos are serving their communities in nearly every country on Earth. Join us for a quick trip around the globe to check out some of their service. And it starts in Pennsylvania, USA, with the Twin Valley High School Leo Club. The Leos sent 5 care packages to sailors aboard the USS George H.W. Bush while the carrier was deployed in the Atlantic Ocean. Packed with requested supplies such as trail mix, peanut butter, foot powder, and lip balm, the boxes also included handwritten notes of gratitude and encouragement. For sailors spending up to 11 months away from home, the packages offered a welcome reminder of the people supporting them. From Quebec, Canada, the Ormstown Lions Club. The Lions have been helping children in Quebec's Chateauguay Valley discover the joy of reading since 2015. Through their literacy program, members donate books, lead read-aloud visits, and set up reading tents in classrooms and libraries. The program has benefited children in daycares and elementary schools across the region and become a valued part of the community. And from Georgetown, Guyana, the Lions Club of Georgetown. The Lions donated 100 baby chicks to a Georgetown teenager, allowing him to start a small poultry business. With that support, he gained a first step into entrepreneurship and a way to build practical skills, experience, and income. And in Paris, France, Lions Club Paris Arc de Triomphe. The club organized Soup de Chefs, a fundraiser to support La Locale, an organization that helps people facing financial difficulties access essential food items. Local restaurants donated their signature soups, and community members turned out in large numbers to buy them. Lions and Leos from nearby clubs and other volunteers helped out at the event, which was a huge success. In Tokyo, Japan, Tokyo Shinjuku Lions Club. The club installed a lion-shaped piggy bank at the entrance to one of Tokyo's busiest railway stations. Coins and paper money trigger the sound of a lion's roar, adding a playful note to each donation. The statue raises about $2,000 each month to support local lions projects. From Tanahun, Nepal, the Leo Club of Tanahun. The club distributed warm shoes to students in need, allowing them to stay comfortable and focused on their education during the winter season. The Leos cut back on their own lunch expenses in order to collect funds for the program. This small sacrifice became practical support where it was needed most. from Blacktown, Australia. Blacktown Pond Lions Club Cubs. The Cubs, ages 13 and under, raised $2,000 Australian, about $1,400 US, for the Australian Lions Childhood Cancer Research Foundation, from sizzling sausages at community barbecues to fundraising stalls at club events, the youngsters found creative ways to support childhood cancer research. And in Cairo, Egypt, the Cairo Golden Pharaohs Lions Club. The Lions there helped a local student and textile worker receive a corneal transplant that restored her vision. Working with the Al-Noor Wal Amal Association, which supports blind women through education and opportunity, and the Cairo Elite Lions Club, they helped make the surgery possible. The procedure allowed the young woman to continue her work and studies. And this is some of the service the world counts on. These are just a few of the many stories showcasing the positive impacts Lions are making globally. From helping one person in need to helping an entire community, each and every act of service matters. Be sure to report your activities each month so we can effectively measure our impact, grow our membership, and share our stories with the world. Visit lionsclub.org/service-reporting to learn more. Here's an article on the intersection of service and inclusion. LCIF and Special Olympics celebrate 25 years of partnership. This is written by Shelby Washington. Our most impactful partnerships are born from the inherent belief that Lions can make a difference, and that the slogan, "Where there's a need, there's a lion," can be lived out repeatedly all over the world. Lions perceive community needs from a grassroots level that they believe can be successfully addressed through ambitious vision and hands-on service. 25 years ago, Lion Dr. Paul Berman saw a need and founded the Lions Clubs International Foundation, or LCIF, Special Olympics Opening Eyes program. It was the first ever vision care curriculum for eye care professionals to establish best practices in the effective treatment of individuals with intellectual disabilities. By offering vision screenings for Special Olympics athletes, eye care professionals gained hands-on experience, and athletes received high-quality care for free. Dr. Berman's dream of improving access to vision care for people with disabilities has been realized in more than 475,500 screenings and 281,000 free prescription eyeglasses for Special Olympics athletes. Since 2013, Special Olympics and LCIF have expanded the partnership to include areas of global collaboration beyond vision. Over the years, LCIF has awarded more than $30 million US to Special Olympics for activities that include opening eyes, unified sports, motor activities training programs, unified with refugees and athlete leadership, family health forums, youth activation, and so many more, said LCIF Chairperson A.P. Singh. We have invested in a partnership that has expanded our vision for inclusion, provided a platform for Lions and Leos to serve alongside Special Olympics athletes and their families, and broadened access to community services for those who need them most. More than 23,000 Lions and Leos have volunteered with Special Olympics since our partnership began. Through our extensive partnership activities, Special Olympics athletes and staff have been inspired to join Lions and Leo clubs and make a difference in their local communities. At Special Olympics, we are grateful to have such an impactful global partnership with the world's largest, most active, and most inclusive service organization in the world, said Special Olympics CEO David Evangelista. Many associations support individuals with intellectual disabilities as beneficiaries of service, which we as a movement greatly appreciate. What makes Lions Clubs International unique is the focus on engaging this population to become agents of service, bringing their talents and abilities to the community as Lions. I believe it is at this intersection of service and inclusion that we are changing the world. Lastly, I'll try to fit in this article about my surprise induction by Lion Breanne Liston. I share the story of my Lions induction often, partly because it's pretty comical, but mostly because it shaped who I am today. Even though I grew up around Lions, I never realized it was an international organization. To me, it was just the club my parents and all their friends were in. I helped when I could and mostly saw it as time to hang with family. I figured once I was older and settled down, then maybe I'd join. But life doesn't always go as planned. When I was 19, my dad invited me to a Lions dinner. Free food? Hanging out with my parents and adopted grandparents? Yes, please. What I didn't know until we pulled up to the venue was that this Lions dinner was actually a district convention and my family's club was hosting it. In the parking lot, my dad threw me a yellow vest and said, "Come on, you're being inducted." The evening flew by and was honestly kind of a blur, but I remember leaving excited and feeling like I had a world of possibilities in front of me. Granted, the voluntold route isn't the most best recruitment method, and the chaos of the day was wild, but from that moment on, I decided to embrace the experience and say yes to every opportunity I could. Who knew that one day, my induction day, would open the door to a life of adventure, a Lions family that welcomed me, and a real way to put good back into the world? Who knew it would help shape my future in such a meaningful way? A decade later, I still get chills when I see my new members get inducted. It takes me right back to the moment I became a Lion and to this amazing path I never saw coming. Breanne Liston is a member of the Salina Lions Club in Utah, a Melvin Jones Fellow, and holds the Lions International Faculty Development Institute graduate training credential. We have run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Julie Eldridge, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And we thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.